Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. In 2016, then-candidate Donald Trump's ascension to the White House surprised many Americans. Many people were positively sure that Hillary Clinton would win the election, and one of the major reasons was polling. Polls showed Clinton up by comfortable margins in many states, and showed her handily winning the election. Although she secured the popular vote, she failed to win the Electoral College, leading many pollsters to reanalyze the way they do their work. This year, polls were off once again, and in some cases by even worse margins than the last presidential election. So what happened? Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette Law School poll, and he joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to share some insight.
What were the predictions of the final Marquette Law School poll, which came out actually pretty close to the election?
Right. We came out the released the poll the Wednesday before the election. In our model of all likely voters, we had a 5-point Biden margin. That's something that had been pretty stable throughout the fall when we had seen either a 4-point or a 5-point Biden margin since August. We also had a model that we released as part of that final poll release for a high turnout election. And in that case, we had a 4-point margin for Biden. So a 4 or 5-point margin. Our 5-point margin was based on a turnout of about 3.1 million people. And our high turnout scenario was about 3.2 million. Amazingly, we had even more than 3.2 million votes, easily a record for Wisconsin presidential elections in terms of sheer number of votes, that we have had higher percentage turnout in the past. But it was quite a remarkable increase. Remember, we were just a shade under 3 million 4 years ago. Finally, about the poll, that 4 or 5-point margin in our final poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 4.4 percentage points. So if the Biden lead remains as it is, just a little under 1 percentage point, it means we were off by 3 or 4 points on the margin.
You mentioned the lead, Biden's lead, changed based on how many people voted, and it actually went down the more people voted. And I think that's actually counter to what a lot of people believe. What was it inside of the data that led to that conclusion?
Right. Usually people think that high turnout favors Democratic candidates, and sometimes it does. But one of the changes that's been taking place in American politics and Wisconsin politics in particular is more working class voters have started to vote for Republicans. The most famous example of these are white men without a college degree. Historically, that's been a somewhat lower turnout group. So therefore, if you're having a very high turnout election, more of those usually less likely to vote folks may be coming to the polls. And in this case, that would tend to drive up the Republican vote. Now, the difference between a 5-point margin and a 4-point margin is very small. Let's not exaggerate it. But I do think that that result, small as it is, did show that higher turnout was better for Trump this year rather than the traditional notion that it's better for Democrats.
As you say, that's a very small margin. But when you compare the Marquette Law School poll to some of the national polls, there was a big discrepancy. There were polls that had Biden up by 10 points in the state, some even more. How do we account for the differences there?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a puzzle there. Throughout the year, from May until the election, the Marquette poll was consistently at the low end of the polling range. We were consistently at 4 or 5 points. There were a few other polls that were also in that range, but especially late in the fall, we saw a number of polls, including the UW-Madison poll, also the New York Times-Siena poll, in the 8 to 10 point, or in one case, the 11 point range. And we also saw one that was a 17-point margin, but I think that was easy to dismiss as an outlier far away from everything else. But it did leave this curious question of whether the cluster of polls like mine that were in the mid-single digits, 4 or 5, were different than another cluster that was in that sort of 8 to 10 or 11 range. And why was there that difference? We just talked about likely voter models and levels of turnout, and it's possible that's part of it. But it's also possible there were other things having to do with the methodological differences. The bad thing is it's very hard to know why there was this discrepancy. After the big polling errors in 2016, the polling industry did a deep dive into what went wrong, and we thought we had addressed those things. Last time we were off by 7, this time we were off by 3 or 4, so I think we did a little bit better this time. But the polling industry as a whole seems to have had bigger errors this year than 4 years ago, and that's very disturbing.
Yeah, after the 2016 election, there was a lot of skepticism about the accuracy of polling data in the U.S., and a lot of pollsters, as you say, responded by changing the way they did things. It seems like there were still a lot of errors. What kind of changes were actually made?
Well, the most common thing was to, for some pollsters, actually not for the Marquette poll, was to make sure that we were properly accounting for people without a college degree. I mentioned earlier that levels of education, blue collar versus white collar, has become more strongly related to party voting. And in the past, prior to 2016 and including 16, some pollsters weren't addressing that. Others always did, like mine, but the industry as a whole, I think, largely embraced that and addressed it. But again, the point is that didn't stop errors this time. In a little bit, I think it's addressing the problems of the last election, and then new issues come up. But I think the big things that we want to look at this time are, is there a systematic group of the public that is now declining to do polls in a way that is related to their party preferences? In the past, lots of people declined to do polls, but there hasn't been a partisan tilt to who agreed to do them and who didn't. And I think that'll be an important area to look at. One of the things we saw last time was a lot of surge to Trump in the last week. But 4 years ago, there were a lot of events in the last 10 days of the campaign that made that sensible. This time, it's much harder to point to anything that's an obvious reason to think there would have been a last-minute surge this time. Last bit, maybe the Trump campaign really was especially successful in turning out their voters, especially on Election Day, and helping to rebalance the vote against the heavier Democratic surge in early voting. But that still left a lot of opportunity for Election Day Republican turnout.
I want to go back to something you said, a possibility that there's a partisan difference in who responds to polls. If that's the case, what does that say about the future of polling?
Well, it raises huge challenges, and how do we address that? I want to be clear that this is something that pollsters worry about constantly and are constantly trying to check for. In our case, our polling has consistently shown 45% of the state consider themselves Republicans and 45% consider themselves Democrats. We check that and report it as part of our news release every poll. And we've seen no change in that margin over the last 4 years. So it doesn't look like we started missing Republican voters. We've had about the same percentage in almost every poll for the last 4 years. But that still doesn't mean there couldn't be some particular types of Republicans that are less likely to respond, or Trump supporters specifically who may be less willing to respond. And again, those are hard things to know for sure. They're things we look for. But if that turns out to be part of the cause of the errors this year, I think that will be a big challenge for how to do polling that reaches those folks.
There's been also discussion about so-called shy Trump voters and this idea that there are people who are voting for President Trump who lie, essentially, who say that they won't be voting for him. Do we have any evidence that that's something that's happening, that these are people who are speaking with pollsters?
This is, again, one of those things that pollsters have spent tremendous effort to try to identify shy Trump voters, and we have, for the most part, failed to produce evidence. For example, some polls in 2016 in particular randomized their respondents. So a random half were interviewed by a human, and a random half were interviewed by a robo poll, push one for Trump, two for Clinton back then. And we found very small differences between those. So if the shyness lies in telling a person how you're voting, you wouldn't think that would show up in telling a machine the same thing. So that has been constantly tested and looked for without success. But I think this begs the question, if it's not that, and there's not much evidence for it, then what is it that produced an average poll here in the state of nearly an 8-point Biden lead, when in fact we're seeing a little under a 1-point margin?
Yeah. I think there are a lot of people who are looking at the polling data today, with Biden leading by a wide margin, then only to see these razor-thin margins during the election. And of course, people say, you know, how does that happen? And is there something that people just misunderstand about polling in general that ultimately leads to these discrepancies?
Well, I don't think there's anything that polling hasn't said in the past, and the 2016 case certainly was the example that polling's far from infallible. But I think we as an industry certainly have a big problem when two elections in a row we've had some discrepant results. Now, in 2016, the national polls were pretty accurate, but over 130 polls in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania all had the wrong winner, had Clinton winning. That was a huge problem. But this year, it looks like the errors are more widespread and perhaps bigger in percentage terms. This is a big problem, and I think there's no getting around it. And why that occurs is something that we'll have to work hard on. And I guess the last thing to say is that we do report margins of error for individual polls. So as I said, my margin of error was plus or minus 4.4 percentage points on a 5-point margin. And so that's a fair sense of how uncertain a single poll is. But I think when you see the collection of polls and you see the polling average, it's easy to go to the notion that these are extraordinarily precise estimates. And then when they're wrong, they're especially glaringly wrong.
Well, Charles Franklin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette Law School Poll and a professor of law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.